Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Hey, whoa, am I on yet, Will? What are we doing over here? I got Billy Lanny producing for me today. Talk about pressure. Welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club, 7:03 on this Saturday morning. Tim McCone in on headlines. A couple of guests for you on the show today. Rich Brady, the executive director of the Dell Technologies Championship. He'll be on a little bit later talking about... It's not too early to start talking about Labor Day weekend, even though we just got through Memorial Day weekend here a couple of weekends ago. But the big golf tournament that happens in Boston every year, is it going to happen next year? I don't know. We're going to ask Rich about that and also talk about... The Father's Day special that they have going on right now. Because, look, what do you buy, Dad? Honestly, what are you going to get him? A couple of tickets to the Dell Technologies sounds like a good idea. But we'll talk to Rich about the tournament, what's happening next week with the U.S. Open, and just whoever he might think is going to have a shot at winning it this year. Also, Caitlin, I'm going to say Sharpless right now. I believe she may still go by that name, but there's another last name involved due to, you know, legal marriage purposes. I'm not sure. We'll talk to Alaska. That'll be the first question out of the gate when Caitlin gets here a little bit later. But she's been on the show several times over the years. Phenomenal golf fitness coach, instructor, lifestyle guru. She will come in and yell at us about all the things that we should be doing but aren't doing. But Caitlin, also a phenomenal collegiate golfer. She's got a huge following, both YouTube, Instagram. All of her clients swear by her. And honestly, the stuff that she talks about works. The one or two things that I've actually been able to implement over the years and try and work on are legit. So Caitlin will be here a little bit later. Actually, just coming up here in a few minutes here on the Sports Hub Golf Club to talk to us this morning. So it'll be good to have Caitlin on. I mentioned moments ago, Rich Brady, the executive director from the Dell Technologies, will be on the show. And I said, we'll talk to him about, you know, who might be winning this year. And it was the subject of my column that I wrote this week, too, more specifically about the U.S. Open as to, well, who's going to win this thing? And I started the question, McCone, were you in here a couple of weeks ago when I kind of posed this kind of open-ended question? And all I said was, hey, you remember who won last year's U.S. Open?
Yeah, no idea.
Like, no idea. Now, you may have a more of an idea now because the hype machine has started to roll already. And the Open starts on Thursday, Shinnecock Hills. Here is your answer. The defending U.S. Open champion is Brooks Koepka. Ooh! Talk about getting your juices flowing. Now, Brooks Koepka put on a real show last year at the U.S. Open, and he's a fine guy and a good player, but this speaks to what I think is a quote-unquote problem in golf, in that the last 11 major championships have been won by 11 different players. Now, my mind has changed on this slightly, but since I wrote this 3 days ago, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but let me lay it out for you first. Before that, before the last 11 majors, Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy had both won back-to-back. Spieth won the Masters and U.S. Open in 2015, and that was right after McIlroy had won the British and the PGA Championship in 2014. So it looked like it was setting up for these two to start dueling, right? You were going to have a Nicholas Watson type of back and forth. Which, by the way, when you go back and look at the major championships that both those guys won, they were staggered out over a long period of time. You're talking about, you know, 60s up until 86 when Jack won his last Masters. And it wasn't like they were just trading major championships back and forth for a period of 10 years. You know, that's revisionist history. But the notion that you had a couple, or as the case may have been back at that time, between Nicholas Watson, Trevino, you start mixing in some other players in the 80s. Yeah, you think, okay, you got three or four guys who have a legit chance at winning each week. And I think that held true. I think that part of it, you can say yes. Jack Nicklaus would roll up to any major championship and say, this guy's got a real shot of winning here this week. And ditto for Tom Watson. And of course, the Tiger Woods era, which was one guy on top of everyone. We all wanted to think at that PGA championship that watching Tiger and Sergio duel down the stretch, there was going to be a Tiger-Sergio thing for a while. There wasn't. We wanted there to be a Tiger-Phil thing, and there was a little bit, but not really. But now, even having Tiger on top, that was okay, because we see what dominance does in terms of interest. The NFL has never been stronger, and the Patriots are in the Super Bowl 3 out of the last 4 years, and they've won more than anybody, and that hasn't hurt the game. I will make one exception, because I was completely underwhelmed by watching the Golden State Warriors sweep the NBA Finals. And if you were up late last night, you saw them absolutely disintegrate the Cavaliers in Cleveland to sweep them out of the NBA Finals and win it in four games. So that's why my mind has changed maybe a little bit. But I still think it would be better than having just a new guy every week. I told you the last 11 majors have been won by 11 different guys. You want to double down on this? 9 of those 11, first-time winners. First-time winners. The only guy who's repeated in there was Jordan Spieth. Now, a couple of them have had chances, and more than a couple of them were really fun to watch. It was really fun to watch the Sergio get his first major at the Masters 2 Masters ago, right? That was fun. And we've seen guys have chances at getting back since then. Rory McIlroy had a great chance to win just this past Masters. But some of the other guys who have won in that stretch, Danny Willett, Masters champion, does that do anything for you? How about Jimmy Walker? Jimmy Walker won the PGA in 2016. Forget about how many majors he's won since then. He hasn't won since then. That's not good for golf. That's not good for any sport to have just someone new come in and win, boom, and then go away. And then you got the guys you think have won. You get Dustin Johnson. He's won a couple of majors. No, one. Jason Day, one. How have these guys not won more? It's parity, which sometimes can be a good thing. But in this case, when you have 11 different guys winning the last 11 majors, I'm not so sure. The only time it really, really gets to be fun is when you get a chance to walk around, say, at the Dell Technologies, and I'll ask Rich about this later, but I think that can be a better experience for people going out there and watching. Now, I was out there at the Deutsche Bank years ago watching Tiger and Vijay duel on the final day. Tiger starts the day 2 strokes back, and he ends up overcoming that deficit in a very short period of time. Eagles, the first 2 par 5s and takes the tournament. That was cool to watch. But if you're going to go out there or any other tournament over one of the first 4 days, it's nice to have in the back of your mind, this guy could actually win this thing. And that's where we are right now on the tour. So we can discuss or debate whether or not it's a quote-unquote problem, but I'll tell you this much. The odds of Brooks Koepka repeating as a U.S. Open champion, about as good as me winning the U.S. Open. Me getting a sponsor's exemption, if it existed for the U.S. Open, which it doesn't, and somehow showing up at Shinnecock next week and taking the damn thing myself. I don't think Brooks Koepka is going to win it again. And I would like for there to at least exist the possibility that a repeat champion is out there, or a guy who might be able to take 2 majors in 1 year. Justin Thomas had the closest thing to it when he won a bunch down the stretch, when Justin Thomas won his major, and he finished that year in just a phenomenal year. But he hasn't won since then. He hasn't, and this is how we judge these guys, by their major championships. It's just, Justin Thomas was just 2017, just last year. He won the FedEx Cup. 5 wins during the year. Player of the year. He won the he won a major championship. Has Justin Thomas really been in the conversation again? I know it's still early. We're only coming up on our second major for 2018. But I think it would be better for golf if these guys can sustain a little bit more. All right. That's it. I'm done with my rant. Caitlin Sharpless will be here with us next, talk about some fitness and some ideas. She was in Golf Digest earlier this spring with some great tips for exercising without all the equipment, especially cardio stuff. And I'm not talking about going out and running 6 miles. I mean, doing like a cardio workout without the treadmill. I can't quite remember what it was, so we'll ask Caitlin when she gets here. Coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club. Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club, 7:17 on this glorious Saturday morning. It's nice out there. This feels like golf weather, so it's a good thing we have Caitlin here with us this morning to talk about not only warming up, but staying in shape to play golf. And we're going to get into as much as we can in our time together here this morning. So, Caitlin Sharpless. Did you hear me? I was talking like, I don't know. I think it's pimento. I'm not sure.
It is pimento. You're correct.
But if people are looking for you online, I still find you. I think you're still on there as Sharpless in a lot of places.
I switched it over.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I did. And now it's pimento. Caitlin Pimento.
Okay. And your husband is in the biz, so to speak, as well.
Yes. He's a strength coach at Brown.
Okay. And so what does he do exactly?
So he does all the fitness stuff. So he has about 9 or 10 teams. So he has like men's, women's lacrosse. He has men's, women's crew, men's, women's basketball, men's, women's hockey. So he writes all their programs and works with them, all the varsity athletes.
Wow, he's a busy guy.
He's a busy dude.
Okay. And you two are really obnoxious, by the way, because I see your stuff online. And here's the thing that you two like to do. Go out and go like surfing at like 6 o'clock in the morning in February.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Wearing the full blown, they're not even wetsuits. What do you call them? Dry suits when they're that cold?
I guess. They
cold
are
water
pretty
suits?
Thick. Yeah. They're like 5 mil. You can't feel anything.
Don't even know what you're talking about. But, you know, like most young married couples do, get up, have a kale smoothie at like 4 a.m., go surfing off the, you know, some beach in Rhode Island by 6 a.m., and then go off to their strength and conditioning jobs by 7.
You got it. We're weird. We're real weird.
I like talking to you, Caitlin. It's like interviewing a unicorn. So, yeah.
I've never been called that before.
Yeah,
tell me, how
do you keep that horn on your head in shape?
It's called super glow. You just got to really, keep it.
Whatever. Okay, so it's fun. You know, we've got Bigfoot in the studio here with us today. You hardly ever see him. No, all right. So, Caitlin, you have been doing this for a long time. We've talked to you on the show before. And people can find you. Where do you direct them mostly? To your Instagram feeds, to your Twitter accounts, YouTube channels?
Yes. Right now, I put out a ton of free content on Instagram and on Facebook. So if you just Google Caitlin Pimento, like my YouTube channel will come up. You know, all that stuff will come up. But it's under Felix Fortis Golf Fitness.
Okay, which is Latin for
happy and strong. Yeah, you remember?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, what said. You could have fooled me.
Latin for you'll never do this. You'll never look like this, and you'll never be as strong and as fit as I am.
Not true.
I tell you what, some of the stuff we've talked about, and the same thing with Paul Gizbekian, who I think you've met before.
Yeah, he's great.
When you don't have to go full blown with this stuff, you can implement certain things that you guys talk about and live by.
Totally.
And totally see results. So let's talk about a couple of those things this morning. One of them, you were in Golf Digest earlier this year.
Yes.
And you were talking about a cardio routine that doesn't require a $2,000 treadmill.
Or a bike. Yep.
Or a bike or a you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't even know the names of the equipment. That's how much I care. But I do care about not spending $2,000 on something that you may not even use.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about that. Why is it important? Why do we need to worry about cardio when we're playing golf?
Sure. So, I mean, you think about 18 holes We're out there for hopefully less than 4 hours, but sometimes 5 to 6,
sure.
Depending on how slow it is. But think about how hilly these courses are and how much demand, whether you're, I mean, this is a whole nother debate that I got into this week on my page, like if you carry or if you push, if you ride, I mean, regardless, you're still out there for, you know, 4 to 6 hours. You need that energy, and we are an explosive sport. So the National Spine Association said that we put 8 times our body weight on our spine at impact. So it's like very, and our swing is literally like less than 2 seconds long. So when you think about all the energy demands and what we're putting on our body needs to be able to respond to that and like be able to do that, hopefully less than, you know, less than 100 strokes per round.
Yeah.
And some are more, some are less, but that's a lot of energy demand. So when we think about conditioning for a golfer, a lot of people that I help with online, they think, oh, I've been, Caitlin, I'm doing great. I'm running like 6 miles a day, like you mentioned. And I'm just like slap my head on my forehead or like my hand on my forehead. Cause you think about, you know, we're not necessarily an endurance athlete. We're an explosive athlete. So we need to be conditioning accordingly. So what that might look like for a golfer, and which is why, you know, we put together that article, during Golf Digest, so what that's going to look like is, you know, short bursts of cardio output. So things like sprinting is amazing, bike sprints amazing. If you don't have a bike, that's why we put together that article in Golf Digest. Is golfers don't always have access to a gym. They're traveling a lot. You know, you work, you travel. You know, you get up early, you want to do something at home. Like, I want this to be accessible for everyone. And so what that looked like in the article was like, okay, you're going to do high knee runs for 15 seconds on, 45 second rest. And, you know, if you have a heart rate monitor, that's even better because you can monitor how stressed you are that day. And you may need more time to recover, you may need less. But the goal is, you know, to really get that, you know, 1-to-2, 1-to-3 work to rest ratio.
See, I remember a boxer years ago was like revolutionizing boxing training because these guys will go out and do those 6 mile runs and stuff for their endurance. Mm-hmm. And there was a trainer who said, you know what? You don't run at the same pace in a boxing match for the same time. What you do is you run really hard for 2 or 3 minutes for the round. And then you sit. So this is what this guy would do. He would do something, not a full on sprint because, you know, you're not going to sprint for 2 minutes, and you know, unless you're Michael Johnson or someone. But you're going to. I don't even know. Yeah, name one of the great 800 meter runners in the world. I don't even know. But you try and simulate what you're doing in the activity you're trying to get better at, right? So this boxer would do something more intense for a couple of minutes, and then take a 1 minute downtime and try and simulate that. You know, that entire boxing match. So this is kind of what you're talking about, trying to simulate what happens on the golf course a little bit more during training and hopefully less than 4 or 5 hours of training time.
Yeah. And another really important aspect of, you know, short bursts is that type of conditioning, that type of metabolic conditioning is going to help you save the muscle we're trying to build in the gym. Because as an endurance athlete, like you take a look. Like for those who are listening, like take a look at the difference between the physique of a sprinter versus an endurance athlete, like a marathon runner. We want, you know, you. I'm not going to tell you what I want your body to look like, but as from a performance perspective, we do want that physique of a sprinter because they do have musculature, they do have power, they have speed, and those are the things that are going to get us to hit the ball farther and get through a round of 18 holes without huffing and puffing and feeling like we're decreasing energy. Because the number one thing, Artie, that I hear people say is like, Caitlin, like I'm literally trying everything I can, but I just can't get through a full round without feeling like I have the same amount of energy as I did on hole one when I get to hole 18. People are gassed. So this is how you do it.
Okay. Now, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, Caitlin, but I can hear people driving to the golf course right now, rolling their eyes. I'm like, okay, how about Patrick Reed, the guy who just won the Masters? He didn't look much like a sprinter. Are some of these guys more in shape than we give them credit for, or at least more in golfing shape than we give them credit for?
And I think that's a really good point. I think it's important. I mean, I don't train Patrick Reed, so I can't speak for him or his trainer, or you know, or if he has one, but or how consistent he's working out. But I do know that if you like Titleist Performance Institute and like my friend Milo O'Brien, like he who trains like LPGA Tour players, like and PGA Tour players, they take a look at, you know, the person may not look super fit, but we really have to take a look at, we can't judge them by that. We have to take a look at what they did as a kid. Because I was just talking to you about like speed windows, like Titleist Performance Institute, they have like a junior track that we teach about as kids. When we are growing the fastest, that's when you train the fastest. So if Patrick Reed as a kid, without even knowing it, was just in every single sport that, you know, known to man, and he got through all those speed windows, that's going to carry over. That's what they call like rocket fuel. Like he has that. It's not like diesel or gasoline. Like he literally has that capability in muscle memory. And like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that carries over throughout the rest of your life.
Sorry, my mind just wandered. I'm thinking about my kids at home who may not do one sprint today. I got to go home. I'm like,
yeah, go sprint with them.
Yeah.
We're going to do some fun today.
I'm thinking more along the lines of setting up some cones and just, you know, pointing in the direction. I missed my speed window by about 30 years. So
put some donuts at the end. No,
whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Caitlin, so many people still carry their clubs. I still carry my clubs if I'm playing nine holes.
Yeah.
I've carried them for 18 on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to make you more tired.
Yeah.
But again, playing devil's advocate, I don't quite mind it sometimes because I get out there and I am like JoJo the Idiot Monkey Boy. I can't wait to hit this ball as hard as I can. And once you carry those clubs for a few holes, it's like, oh, I'm kind of too tired. And at least in my head, I'm thinking this is going to help me swing easier because I'm exhausted from lugging these things, you know, over the first three or four holes. Is there anything to that or am I just kidding myself?
No, absolutely. I mean, what you feel is completely accurate. Like, these are just the facts. Like, and I just put out a Instagram video that kind of went like semi-viral on my page because, like, you know, people disagree and people agree. But I had stated that, you know, as a junior, even when I was quote unquote a strength, when I started being a strength coach,
right?
When I was a junior, I had terrible posture. I had terrible low back pain. And so by carrying my bag, like I just kind of did it because I thought that's what golfers had to do. And I didn't want to look like, you know, she's not a real golfer. She's pushing her cart.
And just to interrupt for a second,
yeah,
because it doesn't look cool to use a cart, right? I think that a lot of people don't want to do that.
Exactly. Like, they're like, cool. It doesn't fit like the status quo of what a golfer, I'm using my fingers here, quote unquote, should look like.
Sure.
But, you know, and TBI, Titleist Performance Institute, put out a tweet yesterday that kind of like I normally don't get controversial on my page, but like I really needed to say something because they were saying that like a lot of collegiate players were getting kind of some slack for pushing and pulling versus carrying. And I was thinking like, one, why does it matter what other people think? Like, and two, if you're going, like in my opinion, I never carry anymore. Like if, even I'm strong enough, I'm mobile, like I'm powerful, I still don't carry just because I'm out there to play the best golf ever. And I can carry. Like, you know, there's a lot of debate where they're like, well, you should be able to carry a 25, 30-pound load and, you know, whatever. But in my opinion, if I have a competitive advantage, any competitive advantage that I have, I'm going to freaking use.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to have more energy than like my opponent because we're playing a really hilly course, and I want to beat the crap out of the person. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on live video, but I'm going to do it. And so that, you know, if it helps you, if it increases your energy levels, if it doesn't hurt your back, then do it. But if you do want to carry, just be smart about it. Like have really good form. Make sure
using both straps.
Yeah. Use the strap that goes across your chest. But in my opinion, I can honestly say there's going to be a lot more people carry or pushing and pulling versus carrying.
Caitlin Pimentel, formerly Sharpless, Felix Fortis. You can find her all over the place on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. A lot of people playing today. I talked to so many people who are playing this weekend, and
so
it's
awesome.
Gorgeous. Yeah, it's like the stars are aligning for people playing. So people driving to the course right now, give us and those people something to do when they get there for a quick warm up. Because, again, this is something that happens all the time. We talk about all the time. You show up 10 minutes before your tee time.
Yeah.
You pay your green fee. You go to the first tee. And, you take two practice swings. Ready to go. Give us something to fit into. I mean, fit into that window.
Totally.
You know, let's be reasonable. Let's not talk about showing up 30 minutes ahead of time, throwing a towel down,
yeah,
you know, in the grass along there and start stretching. I mean, let's keep it real. All
He's
right.
Laughing.
Give us a, I know because nobody does it. You do it.
Yeah.
You and your husband do it. That's it.
I know.
And
Mike
Paul,
and
I know three kill. People. I know like a handful of people actually do this stuff. Give us something to do for a quick, reasonable warm up.
Yeah. So this is actually a great question. So, I mean, if you have a minivan type thing, I would say this is the easiest. They're like $2 from Perform Better. And this is like, I get no affiliation with them. It's just, they have the best stuff, in my opinion. You literally take this like little green miniband and you can go buy it like Dick's Sporting Goods or something.
Yeah.
Or, and it's the best way to warm up your glutes or your core. So you literally just throw it around your ankles and you have your feet shoulder width apart and you just walk, you know, 10 yards forward, 10 yards back, 10 yards to the left, 10 yards to the right. That's all you do. You're warming up like the whole part of your glute. Everything's going to be fired up. So then you can literally get in your golf posture. You feel stable. You
Caitlin,
fire hips.
You're not being reasonable.
What?
Your people are not going to take a band with them to the
Come
golf
on.
Course and do a penguin walk to warm up to play golf.
I don't know.
You're not Party, being I reasonable.
I can't tell you how many.
I'm not letting
many,
you off. No.
All right. Fine. I'll give you something else.
Give me something else.
Okay. All right. Fine. So if you don't want to do the minivan, but I'm going to tell you it's very popular these days.
Does anybody else think she's being reasonable? Oh, Billy does.
They all just,
all right, Billy thinks you're
yes.
Yeah, Tom Brady
yeah.
lives by resistance bands.
That's right. That's a TB12.
Okay. 10. Okay. So if you don't have a minivan, you're going to the course today. I mean, you may look silly, but I don't care. Like,
okay.
You want to be warmed up.
Right.
You just need a club. That's it. You're going to put a club behind your shoulder blades. Okay. You're going to get down like you're going to propose to someone. Get down on one knee. And all you're going to do is just push up through your front heel. And you're going to do that 5 times. It's called a split squat. Okay. Now, when you go all the way up to the top, you're going to go all the way back to the bottom. Instead of having your knee touch, you're just going to hover and you're going to turn. So if your left leg is up, you're going to turn the club over your shoulders into the side that's up.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you're going to do that 5 times on each side. That gets you know, mobility going through your back. It gets your hips warmed up, your glutes nice and warmed up. And then what you're going to do is get your feet awkwardly wide. Like I'm talking like very wide, like you're trying to do a split. And then all you're going to do is like, let's say, you know, you're in that awkward wide leg stance. You're just going to sit back on your right heel, keeping your left leg straight. So you're kind of like in a lateral split squat or lateral squat. And then you're just going to do that 8 times on each side. So what that's doing is you're in your glutes all fired up, your thoracic spine all mobilized from sitting and traveling to the golf course, and you're getting your adductors super mobile so you can fire.
What you just said is 10 times more reasonable than doing a penguin walk with a resistance band.
I mean, let me tell you, if you can get that little penguin walk down and that little lunge circuit, you're going to beat everyone, I'm telling you. And okay. Hardy. Hardy. I prove him wrong.
That's that line. That's no trick. I'm gonna go out there and, oh, I'm gonna. Someone just asked me on Twitter today. He's like, dude, me and you, 18 holes, Atkinson Country Club, winner take all. I'm like, you can take it right now, dude. You'll beat me. There's this. What do you want?
Take it all.
I'll go play golf, but, you know, A, I need the time, and B, it's not going to be a contest. Don't worry about that. But no, the warm up thing is absolutely legit. And we've talked about it before. The lower body stuff makes such a difference.
Everybody
wants to stretch out their wrists and their shoulders and all the things you think you're.
It's
the lower body.
It's really getting those
big muscles working and warmed up and ready to play. That makes you feel more ready to play, I think, than anything else.
100%. Because like, that's where your power comes from, the ground up. And so, you know, if you don't have glute strength, you can't load up in your swing. You're going to sway. You're going to slide. And if you don't have hip mobility, like, and you have a really strong lower body, you can't even use it. So like, doing that simple little 2 exercise thing, maybe 3 if you get your mini band. I'm not letting that one go. it'll be amazing. You'll notice a big difference.
All right, Caitlin, where do people find you? Give us the whole rundown.
So if you Google Caitlin Pimentel golf or fitness, my Instagram page will come up. It's at Felix Fortis Golf Fitness. And then on my professional business page on Facebook, it's just Caitlin Pimentel PGA Strength. And then also, if you go on to Golf Digest and you go, we actually filmed a bunch of like home workouts for people that are very practical. And I'm just going to let you know, the minivan is included in that one. So go get your minivan, people.
All right.
But we put together like a 15, 30, 45 minute workout programs for at home minimal equipment. So that's all accessible there as well.
Okay. And Caitlin is spelled K-A-I-T-L-Y-N. Caitlin Pimentel. Thanks. Good to see you.
So good to see you.
Thanks
this has
for
been
coming
fun.
In. Yeah. Good times. Rich Brady. He is the executive director from the Dell Technologies Championship. He joins us next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, the Red Sox wasted a terrific start by Chris Sale last night. He went 8 innings, only giving up 1 earned run while striking out 10. Wasn't enough, though, as they fell to the White Sox 1-0.
Everyone loved to have 10 a game, but, I mean, shoot, look at my last two starts. I flat out sucked, so I'm not going to sit here and point fingers at anybody. Well, I'd like to win this game, absolutely. So would everybody else in here, but it's kind of selfish of me to say something like that, especially looking at my last two leading up to this one. So, hey, come in ready tomorrow. I mean, this kind of stuff happens. We're not – this isn't who we are. This isn't define us in any way. It's had an off night. You know, it happens. So just come in ready to go tomorrow.
Sox send David Price to the mound this afternoon. First pitch is at 4:05. Elsewhere in the AL East last night, Yankees beat the Mets 4-1. Blue Jays topped the Orioles 5-1 in the Rays. Fell to the Mariners 4-3. Golden State Warriors captured their third title in 4 years last night as they completed the sweep of the Cavs with a 108-85 win. And the New England Revolution take on Chicago tonight. And you can catch that game right here on 98.5. The Sports Sub with coverage getting underway at 8:30. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by Core Golf and Natick. Give Dad the gift he really wants for Father's Day. An amazing golfing experience at Core Golf. Buy your gift card right online at coregolf.com. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports, 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Joining us now in the Sports Hub Golf Club, the executive director of the Dell Technologies Championship. Once again, Labor Day weekend at TPC Boston in Norton, Mass. Rich Brady's on the phone. Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Hardy. Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, this is an important weekend for the Dell Technologies. Okay, I should say the week. It's an important week because we're leading up to Father's Day, and shopping for dad is tough. I don't envy my, you know, wife and kids who try and get me anything because we don't need much, but tickets to the Dell Technologies would be good. That's a good gift. So I think you're doing some specials regarding that. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're trying to make it easy out there for all the shoppers looking for a gift for their dad this year. We put a package together in cooperation with our friends at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, where you have two tickets to the Champions Club, which is an upgraded venue, views of 18 green, all climate controlled, and two of those steak sandwich vouchers that you can redeem on site for $150. So it's nice and simple. Come out with your dad. You know he's a golfer. You know he's a golf fan. Just an easy package and can be done with it and get a good gift.
All right. So we'll get to more of that in a second. Let's talk about the tournament itself. For people who don't know, and I can't believe there's anyone, especially listening to this show, who doesn't know, but the Dell Technologies, formerly the Deutsche Bank Championship, four-day tournament, Labor Day weekend. It's Friday through Monday. Any changes for this year that you can talk about right now, or is it going to be business as usual down there?
Yeah, we're always looking to tweak the overall event here, this year being no different. It's our 16th consecutive year being played over Labor Day weekend, if you can believe that. But new changes that we're thinking about doing, and more on the way as we continue to plan out the event, we're looking to add more restaurant partners than we've had before. I mentioned Ruth's Chris at the beginning. We're going to have Shake Shack on site for the first time. Very cool.
Nice.
Chick-fil-A is going to come out with their food truck. We're going to have a craft beer area. Grey Goose is going to be out here again. We want to make it a day's event out here, and food and drink is really a key to a good time.
So it's still going to be the top 100 players in the world. It's going to be the part of the FedEx Cup Series. Some of that is changing, though. Next year, I mean, the PGA Tour schedule is going to be different next year. Notably, the PGA Championship will happen in between the Masters and the U.S. Open. And there's,
What's going on with this tournament? Because from what I understand, they want to wrap everything up in terms of the FedEx Cup before football starts.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to the schedule for next year that are still being sorted out, still being finalized. We do know, like you said, that the Players is going to be in March and the PGA Championship is going to be in May. All indications are that the playoffs are going to end before Labor Day weekend. How that impacts us, again, still to be determined. We are geared up for 2018. We're fully expecting Tiger Woods to come back to the event for the first time in 5 years, and with his arrival, that's really taken up a lot of our focus.
That would be amazing. And let me tell you, for people who haven't been out there, one of my great sports moments was watching Tiger and Vijay in the final pairing when it was still the Deutsche Bank many Labor Days ago. Actually, it probably wasn't that many, probably 10. It was about 10 years ago. And watching those guys, Tiger overcame a two-shot deficit within the first seven holes. I believe he made eagle on the first two par fives. It's unlike any other live sporting event. You go watch championship golf, you can get closer to these guys than you can in just about any other sport, short of spending $2,000 on courtside tickets. You can walk the entire course, and you can see the game played in a way that you just don't get on TV.
Yeah, that's talking about the competition rounds and how close you can get when they're competing. Come out to the practice range, and we have a bleacher set up back there to watch Tiger hit driver for 10, 15 minutes. I mean, you're watching a living legend playing golf out here. It's really remarkable to see. And I as a tournament director, am envious of the galleries that have been at these other tournaments that Tiger has played at for the first time in a while. Down in Tampa Bay, they sold 50% more tickets year over year. You see the bump in Orlando. You saw a bump in the Players Championship at the Memorial. I mean, Tiger is a major draw, and we're really excited about welcoming him back here.
I tell you, you mentioned the practice range, and I'm such a dork when it comes to this stuff, but anybody who I've taken over there immediately gets it. You get to watch these guys just hit balls. And if you play golf at all, it is hypnotic watching how good these guys are hitting shot after shot. And I remember watching Tiger there too when he was hitting that, you know, driver stinger. And he purposely tries to top the ball a few times. And he purposely tries to hit shots that don't look like ones that he'll be hitting on the course later that day. But to see what those guys can do, that in and of itself is an event, just watching these guys warm up. If you're into golf at all, you're going to get off on it, trust me.
Yeah, hypnotic's a good word for it. I mean, they're just in a rhythm, and they make it look so easy. And it's all of them. It's not even just Tiger, who's fun to watch, but Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and these guys are, you see them on TV every week, and we are very fortunate as a region to welcome all of them, the top 100 players on the PGA Tour out here.
So let's talk. This is Rich Brady, by the way. He's the executive director of the Dell Technologies Championship, Labor Day weekend, TPC Boston, Norton, Mass. Let's talk about your early picks for the tournament. I know you're the tournament director. You can't really pick, but based on the defending champion and who's playing well right now, what are you looking at?
Yeah, the tour is more competitive than it's ever been. A player can get hot for a week and win, as evidenced by Webb Simpson down at the Players. I don't have a pick. All I know is that whoever wins our event is in the driver's seat for winning the FedEx Cup 2 weeks later in Atlanta. And there's facts behind that. The last 2 years that our champion has won, they've gone on to win the grand prize. That's Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas. So because it's now become this event that you're in a really good spot to continue to go on, the level of competition rises to that. So I don't know who's going to win it, but I do know it's going to be a big name, and it's going to be a competitive event.
Rich, that's the only answer. I mean, we talked about it earlier on the show today, you know, as we preview the U.S. Open next week, 11 different major championship winners over the last 11 majors, and only one in there who's actually won a major before that. it's anybody's tournament. For next week, it's probably going to be anybody's tournament heading into the Dell Technologies. So if you're into that, it's wide open. You can go out there and follow any guy around over the first couple of days or even in a practice round and reasonably say, this guy could end up winning it all. So that's a different level of excitement. All right, Rich, let's bring everybody back one more time. Tell us about the Father's Day special going on right now for tickets.
Yeah, easy gift for Dad. You get two tickets to the Champions Club presented by Harbor One. It's located at the 18th green. Get views right of 18. And you get two Ruth's Chris steak sandwich vouchers that you can redeem on site for $150.
Sounds perfect. Plus, Shake Shack is going to be out there this year. I mean,
plus Shake Shack and Tiger Woods.
And Chick-fil-A. Don't forget about that. And we'll talk more as we get closer to the tournament, but bringing the kids out there is such a good take. I mean, they get a chance to run around. You got the kids' village. You could just, it's a very welcoming family atmosphere. And I'm guessing you're not going to charge for kids 15 and under again this year. Is that right?
No, you got it figured out, Hardy.
Okay.
That's a good point. You get, if you did the Ruth's Chris program for $150 and bring two of your kids, 15 and under, are complimentary. So now you just made an even better day out of it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All right, Rich Brady, we'll look forward to talking to you again as the summer rolls on here and we get closer to the actual event, Labor Day weekend, TPC Boston, the Dell Technologies Championship. Rich Brady is the executive director. Rich, thanks for taking the time. We'll talk again soon.
Great chatting with you, Hardy. Thanks so much for having me.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club. You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
All right, back to wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, take care of the 19th hole, which is presented by Deep Eddy Vodka, authentic American vodka made in the heart of Texas. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly. The 19th hole this week is a famous 19th hole. I'm talking about the Tavern at Granite Links. If you've been to Granite Links, you already know that this place has an amazing view of the city, and it's on a great piece of property, 27 holes out there, a lot to do at Granite Links. They got a range there, and they got a ton of golf outings out there. The Tavern, though, it's not just me saying this. I know that it's won a couple of awards. One of them I see here is greatest golf hangouts in the world by something called the Back Nine Network. I don't know so much about that, but Golf Digest ranked it as one of the best 19th holes in the country. So it's not just me. I mean, great food. Great spot to get a drink afterward. They don't even take reservations, which blows my mind. It's just first come, first serve basis. But if you want a great 19th hole, check out. There are people who go up there to the Tavern at Granite Links and don't ever touch a golf club. They just go there to eat, hang out, grab a drink. So there's your 19th hole this week, presented by Deep Eddy Vodka. I was speaking with somebody here at the Sports Hub yesterday who was talking about getting out and playing over the weekend with another certain someone. Nobody you know. Nobody that you can would mean anything to you by name. But I said, "Oh, you're gonna play with so and so?" And they said, "No, why not?" He said, "Too slow." I'm like, "Oh, I thought you guys were buddies." He's like, "The guy won't pick up the pace. Methodical to a fault. This is a bigger problem than you realize." So this is my send away thought as you go out to play today. Pick it up a little bit, would you please? You may be pissing off your playing partners, your friends, your buddies, guys who you've known and played with for years because you're slow and you may not even know it. If you think you're playing fast, pick it up even a little bit more. There are a handful, just a tiny, tiny percentage of people who play, dare I say, too fast, and they get on everyone's nerves. But as long as you're not bugging other people to pick up the pace or you're stepping in front of their shot time after time, hole after hole, and getting out of position and just, you know, being a bad playing partner, you can almost never go wrong by picking up the pace a little bit. And that includes, unless you're playing for huge stakes and you're not doing match play, oh, it's all stroke play, we're playing for, you know, the $1,000 Nassau here. If you're out of the hole, pick up the ball, put it in your pocket, go up and tend the flag, you know?
Be 2 of 3. Be good, be fun, be fast. Good left me a long time ago. I try to be fun to play with, and I do play fast. So that's it. That's my big preaching moment. Johnston and Flynn just walked in the studio. I heard Mike Flynn on at this time last week, I believe. And, yeah, you were here last week. So back-to-back weeks with Mike Flynn on at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
This is a special, special treat.
It's always special. No matter what time of day it is.
Everybody loves Mike on the air. Ryan, not to cast you aside even for a momentary conversation.
No, I mean, it's established that I'm the star of the show.
Right,
or at least
right.
The must, you know, he just kind of guides me in the right direction. There's purpose to that.
I mean, can't believe it's still Johnston and Flynn. How have you...
No, when Zolak, you know, they moved it to Zolak and Bertrand. That was part of, you know, Beatles' contract that he couldn't take top billing. Zolak, you know, pushed for that. I'm going to do that when we redo our contract.
Right.
You know?
Or
Flynn and Johnston.
When Johnston gets shown the door, it'll be the Flynn and McComb
show. Oh, yeah. When Johnston's fired, absolutely. No matter who comes into that chair, we'll be second billing.
To what do we owe the honor? Have things freed up on the social calendar so that you can actually make appearances here early on Saturdays for 2 weeks in a row?
No, I like the early Saturdays.
There's no hockey show in the way.
No hockey show in the way.
Oh.
No, yeah, I'm just, my social calendar is free now, so I just decide to talk to the people and share my wisdom and my thoughts and help some people, and, you know, this is a privilege. Is it a right to hear me on the radio, you know?
Oh, boy. have there been any cookout faux pas in your life so far this year where people have not grilled the buns for you?
You know what? It's been home grilling. I haven't really been to any other place. I just... been busy, so.
Now, do you put
most people don't grill the buns, and I'm not gonna, it's, you know, depending on who it is, I won't say anything. I went to somebody's house that I wasn't necessarily, I mean, I don't want to sit there and go, you know, pee in their cornflakes.
My bigger concern with going to somebody's house for a cookout and they're doing burgers is no frozen patties.
But those work just fine.
Oh, God, jeez. Right, like,
take 30
you ever
seconds.
You want to have a legitimate
get
conversation.
Get some ground beef, take 30 seconds, and make the patties
yourself.
You want
yourself. To have a conversation
about... You pull the
Bubba
Burgers out of the freezer, you can throw them right on the grill.
See, that's the problem. Like, you want to have a legitimate conversation about grilling buns, but I can't take you seriously when you even consider frozen burgers. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of, we can't even start.
Part of my problem is that, for the most part, I view eating as... a necessity. And if I could have 3 bowls of human chow every day, I would do it.
All right.
And just get out with
my life. Don't enjoy the process.
Nope.
I mean, you like good food. I'm not saying, but
God.
I know what you're
my
saying.
My wife
though.
Is an amazing cook and she makes great meals but I devour them in 10 minutes so I can get
my
out
wife
with my
is
life.
Like that. Like I could sit there like for 3 hours. You see Sideways when he has the wine, he's like, "Oh, it's, tastes good to me."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Are you chewing gum? Like, it's my wife. I could sit there and like smoke a brisket or like make like a bolognese sauce or lasagna, like 5 hours of work. I'm like, how is it? Like, you know, it's good. Yeah.
So
like,
you,
or I see, can give her like a bowl of like Captain Crunch and it's like, as long
see,
as she's
that's
fed.
What, but see, that's what I don't understand. Cause like when we're talking about frozen burgers versus fresh, like you're literally talking about taking a couple of extra minutes to make something that is infinitely better.
Yeah, you're not talking about like a 9-hour
process.
I'm
not talking about like you said making a brisket. I'm not talking about you need to spend your entire day at the literally when you go to the store instead of going to the frozen food section, go to the meat section, buy some 80-20 ground beef and just
you know what Hardy does
that's
too,
it.
I bet.
That's
and
all
this
it
is my
takes.
Prediction. When he cooks on the grill, I will guarantee you this. He's a guy that squeezes his burger down on the grill. You know,
no,
the juice comes out. I know you do.
Why do you think I'm some kind of an animal? No.
Well, I mean you're close. I mean, frozen burgers?
Yeah, I've done it.
Although you have to do that with frozen burgers because they're like 90% fat. Those things are disgusting.
I don't think I've... I can't remember... I don't think I've ever cooked a frozen burger. God, is that... I mean...
You're such a snob. But I'm glad that you... And this is what true love is because you have found it. I believe I have found it. It is finding not your soul's counterpoint in another, but your soul's food counterpoint in another. And that way you can complement each other.
Oh, my God.
Keep
each other, God, do right? I love talking to you in crossovers. You just... I mean, you see me tearing up? It's a literal cheat. I'm going to... Can you write that down? Because I want to say that to my wife.
He's going
to
crochet
gonna
that on a
pillow. I'm going to crochet it on a pillow.
I'm going to etch it on a plate. All right. Very good. Johnston and Flynn will be coming up next. Tim McCone has your Hub headlines, and I'll catch you next week, 7 a.m., right here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Touchdown!
Score!
From Town Fair Tire Studios, Weston's home for
for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group.